Previously on Tendril. The year is 2287, and the Milky Way galaxy is no longer a lonely one.
QN10! I am QN10!
That is not a name! Not for my bro!
I'm sure you've all heard of Zengar X, that tourist trap of a moon. A Spagnetian guest was pummeled to death by a cluster of seemingly sentient meteors.
Zengar X is owned by Procyon Planetary Properties.
That's all the debriefing we get?
But really, this is all just a misunderstanding. We have the situation under control.
Considering there was a death on the resort, the GAC has grounds to investigate.
Why wasn't the body moved?
It's more of a question of how to move it.
I'm sampling bits of this green discharge oozing from the orifices of this body.
We have a lab. We'll let you use it if you're willing to tell us what you know.
We're holding a vigil for our fallen comradical.
Are you intelligent? Can you
The monster in Thrush's body makes a violent lunge toward Dr. Mango Simulon.
Not so fast.
Cronist approaches the monster from behind, snapping the neft. The head comes off like the cap of a mushroom.
Do you still have that sample?
I have a feeling there's something the owner of the resort isn't telling us.
The hoverboard QN10 screams in anger as Cronus doubles over.
You kill my master!
This is Tendril, the Banshee Chronicles. Episode 2. It came from grosser space. Written by Caitlin Radle and Ryan Borsis.
Which is why I, QN10, after witnessing you brutally murder my master and best friend, will personally report you to the proper authorities before proceeding
to— Whoa! Calm down, little guy. Cronist. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Good thing I don't have bones.
Look, QN10, right? I get that you're upset. But you've got to understand that what you saw back there, that body, it wasn't Thrush anymore. It wasn't your master. Whoever he was died in the meteor attack. You saw that?
I didn't witness the meteors.
Can it tell us what it saw?
What he saw, Cade. And it's up to him.
Why would I tell the murderers of my master what I saw?
Switch is trying to explain that to you. We're not his murderers, but maybe with your account we can figure out who or what that is.
That sounds exactly like something a murderer would say.
QN10, I know what it's like to be separated from your creator. You're scared, confused, you probably just want a purpose. I'm giving you one. Our job is to help keep the galaxy safe from bad things, like what killed Thrush. Can you help?
Well, okay. Thrush was doing some sick nasty stunts outside of the predetermined Zengar X blast boarding course, which I informed him several times not to do, but he did not listen. Then the meteors followed us. We were separated. The next time I saw Thrush, you were killing him!
Not much help in the info department.
That's okay. You can hang out with us for the time being, and let us know if you remember anything useful. Sound good?
Good!
No, yeah, I'm glad we have a psychotic hoverboard on the team now. Really boosts morale.
Before they know it, the shuttle slides to a stop and the door pops open. The crew and their new ally, Dr. Mango Simulon, clamber out into the docking bay area. Cronus leads the way toward the Banshee.
I apologize in advance, Dr. Simulon, if our lab isn't to your standards. None of us on the crew are scientists, really, so we've sort of been using it as a dining room.
Cronus has, at least. I don't eat.
They enter the ship and lead Dr. Simulon into the lab. It is state-of-the-art, all chrome and gadgets, spacious and clean except for a couple of placemats and an ominous fish skeleton on one of the counters.
Is this your lab? Are you kidding me?
Ooh, left a skeleton out. Gonna just toss this in the incinerator.
Mango takes a few moments to poke around, pulling a microscope out of a cabinet, a tray, and a few little hand tools from another. She finds a receptacle to hold her bright green goo sample.
So, are you going to explain what exactly it is you do for the GAC?
How did you know we work for the GAC?
Your lab instruments have labels on them. But any dope could figure out that a heavily armed skeleton crew with a top-notch lab has much more going on than enthusiasm for meteors.
Hey, that pretense has been known to work in the past.
You have nothing to worry about anyway. I've always supported the Commonwealth. Thank you for your service, I guess.
To answer your question, what we do is classified. We're supposed to be undercover so we don't unnecessarily alarm citizens. All I can tell you is that we focus on problems that are out of the ordinary, like this one. Whatever you can find out about the goo will help a lot.
Of course. Well, just give me a minute with the sample, and I'll see what I can...
Hold on. I'll go check it out.
Cronist picks his way over to the hatch and pulls the lever to open it. There, holding an old-fashioned clipboard and pencil, is a Triblamirin woman who appears to be made entirely out of plants. Her appendages are made from several thick, intertwined vines, and in place of hair is a curtain of stems and strangely shaped flowers, dark red and spotted with white. She exudes a distinct, earthy aroma like loamy dirt. Her face brightens when she sees Cronist.
Like, hey, man, what's happening? My name's Roku DeKennan. And I'm just running this petition for the Triblamirin Nature Society.
Isn't that your whole government?
Groovy, funny, dude. But yeah, I'm doing this petition, and I'd really appreciate if you could sign it.
Sure. Well, the paper's blank.
Oh, yeah. Got so many signatures. I had to start a new page. It's far out.
What is the petition for?
Oh, you know, the normal stuff. Like, promising to protect all life forms regardless of what they have done or will do.
That's weirdly specific and binding for a blank paper.
I know, right? Too bad you'd be a terrible person if you didn't sign it.
Look, I really don't feel comfortable giving out my signature like that, so I'm just going to head back inside. Thanks for the offer.
Roku seizes Cronist by his shirt collar.
Could I at least get your verbal agreement?
What?
Do you promise that you won't harm another life, regardless of what its actions might seem like to you?
Sure. Can you let go of me?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, man. I promise you won't regret it. You'll see. Every life is worth it.
Okay. Thank you for my time.
Peace.
Cronus steps back inside the ship and shuts the hatch, returning to his crew, who are all watching Dr. Simbulon carefully perform her tests on that goo.
Everything okay, Cronus?
Yeah, just one of those Triblamir hippies trying to get me to sign a petition.
In a docking bay, of all places? It's like they're spreading.
Speaking of spreading, I think I'm ready to tell you what I know about this specimen.
Oh, is it a corporation-funded mind-control device?
Not quite. What it actually appears to be is a hyper-conditioned microbial culture, something I studied for a while back in my doctorate. A type of life form called an extremophile. We call these things like this extremos, sort of a nickname. They can survive in a vacuum of space, and if they were to land on a planet, they'd seed themselves, like this primordial ooze, and build an entire ecosystem from scratch. It's only been a theoretical thing up until now, and I never thought I'd actually find one.
So if we drop this one on an empty planet, should that be enough to keep it contained?
No. This one actually seems more dangerous. It's over-adapted, and appears to be aggressive. I'm worried that it's somehow developed the nature to consume and destroy instead of creating life.
Almost as if in response to Mango's words, the Extremo begins spasming violently in its vial.
Is there any way to control it?
Well, we may be able to freeze it. It won't kill it, but it will slow it down, sort of like putting it to sleep.
It's really going crazy in there.
Cade leans in to take a look at the roiling goo. The glass abruptly shatters, and the sample flies away from him, landing on Switch's arm. Switch freezes.
Should I be worried?
Well, You're synthetic, so...
But already, disturbing whispers creep into the back of Switch's mind, asking her to relent. Let them in! They compel the strange desire to attack her crewmates, but also to run away, to infect.
I need it off of me!
Some cold water should do the trick!
But as Switch starts walking toward the emergency shower station, a fear tightens in her chest. She knows that the cold water will calm the Extremo, wash it off, but she feels suddenly and cripplingly afraid of the shower. The kind of fear she's never before experienced.
I can't do it. I can't go over there. There's no way. You can't make me go over there.
The Extremo has taken over her fight or flight response.
How is it working on a robot?
I don't know.
Don't you dare call her a robot.
Fine. Android.
You said cold, right? Good thing I have this handy.
Cronist has conjured a metal condensation-covered container from beneath one of the cabinets, with a nozzle like a fire extinguisher. He sprays Switch down with the contents of the container. Liquid nitrogen. Ice rapidly crystallizes on Switch's exterior, neutralizing it and sending it clattering to the floor in the approximate shape of a Dorito. Dr. Simbulon retrieves the sample with a pair of tongs, handing it to Cade.
You owe me, LT. I was going to make ice cream with that later.
I'll buy you a whole ice cream truck, if that's what you want.
Okay, now we just need to contain the rest of the sample before it melts.
We might have a problem with that.
Everyone swivels to look at Cade, who has managed to splatter the viscous green goo all over his face.
What happened?
I was trying to, you know, contain the extreme-y thing.
With your mouth?
It jumped up on me!
Well, we're all out of liquid nitrogen, so you're gonna have to deal with the shower.
Who made you the boss of me?
You're in the military. I'm literally your boss.
And I'm literally done with this. How could that Vex Longarbo lady send us into a death trap? I bet she knew all about this mind control stuff, and she's gonna have to answer to me!
The wild-eyed Cade darts out of the room.
What is he doing?
It's likely that the Extremo is forcing him to act on his emotions, eliminating his self-control, presumably in an effort to merge with him. Find a host!
So, TLDR, we have to stop him for his own good.
Exactly.
I'll stay here and get what's left of the sample under control.
Roger that. Switch, let's move out.
Gorgas Kiyuti lounges at his massive lava rock desk. He pours himself a third helping of dark red wine and swirls it in a stemless glass, listlessly staring at paperwork. The resort is bustling in the view of the large pane windows behind him. Vex Longarmo's robotic torso hovers near the fireplace, hanging up her 15th angry phone call of the hour.
You can tell Unkrin that I said screw you too, buddy. Paralegals. Don't you just love to fire them?
You know, Vex, if you wanted, why, you could just, leave. I'm sure you got better places to be.
Nice try, Gorgas, but I plan on seeing this through to the end.
I don't know, I just got a good feeling about these guys. They got a good trio of heads on their shoulders. I think they'll clean everything up nicely.
The door to his office slams open. Cade Fludry, mucus smothering his face, heaves angrily in the doorway.
How dare you lie to me!
What is the meaning of this?
Cade rushes Vex, grabbing her torso and shaking her with unnatural strength.
Whoa.
You told us there was nothing to worry about! You said there would be peace!
That wasn't me. You will unhand me this instant. I will sue you for so many things.
Just in time, Switch and Cronist rush into the office. Switch has her blaster drawn, and Cronist is wielding his favorite weapon, a long chain with a fearsome jagged dagger on its end, which he now swings into a deadly circle above his head. Gorgas dives behind his desk.
Oh god, not you guys too!
Cade, drop the lawyer!
She lied to me! To us!
No, she just didn't know. Think rationally.
I...
Cade, listen to me. It's the Extremo messing with your brain. We've got to get it off of you.
She must feel my pain!
The frenzied Cade scrabbles to pry open the top of Vex's fishbowl. The tiny fish inside cowers at the bottom.
What are you doing?
If extreme cold works to get it off, maybe extreme heat will too?
Only one way to find out!
Switch holsters her gun and pulls Cade off of Vex, who splutters and adjusts her blazer. Switch redirects Cade, promptly tossing his entire body into the roaring fireplace.
Ah!
Cade screams, scrambling out after only a moment. He stops, drops, and rolls. The extremo, as if surprised, jumps off Cade's face and splats onto the floor.
Yorona, tell Dr. Simulon she has a sample to pick up in Gorgas Cutie's office.
Roger that, Captain.
I demand that you explain yourself. How dare you come into this office and assault me!
Funny thing about the meteor, Miss Longarmo. It carries a mind-controlling fungus specimen.
And what? This human was irresponsible enough to get himself infected by it?
I have a feeling you know more about this situation than you're letting on. Are you really irresponsible enough to let us walk into something this dangerous?
You have a feeling? Where's your proof?
Your little NDA scheme, for starters. And the fact that nobody on your staff could touch the body. So you tell me...
Boss.
The voice is coming through a tiny speaker on Gorgas's desk.
We're not done here, Longarmo.
Gorgas pulls himself up from behind the desk and presses a little red button.
Yeah? There's something you need to see on the security vids. Now.
Gorgas looks to Vex for approval. She glares at him and waves her hands in a circular motion, indicating for him to hurry up.
Well, all right. Patch it through.
The windows behind Gorgas's desk start projecting an image from the security cameras. A handful of Spacnarians are blastboarding on a perilous-looking terrain, ridden with stone spikes white from ash. Barreling behind them are a trio of gelatinous-looking green figures.
Looks like these troublemakers are grokking it off-road again, near where that body was found.
I should have brought up that Spacnarian band of the board a month ago.
That's Boosh, Sploosh, and Dorsey.
Gesundheit?
What are those things following them?
Looks like more manifestations of the Extremo. We've got to help them.
Excuse me, I don't think you're going anywhere until you explain this little stunt you just pulled.
Cade has finally picked himself up off the floor. His face is a little red, but it's mostly unburnt. His Hawaiian shirt, however, is charred and tattered, but despite being a little shaky, he seems okay.
Sorry, fish lady, I don't think there's time.
Fish lady?
But the Banshee crew has already left.
Smirnoff Ice here with your Commonwealth Catch of the Day. We're receiving reports that just last evening, Vice Admiral Raymond Ruckland of the GAC Navy went down in a heroic blaze of glory. While on a routine peacekeeping mission to break up a bout of martial law on Drokomir, Ruckland's fleet was attacked by some kind of skeleton ghost dragon that coalesced from the void. Admiral Ruckland, trading the life of his crew for his own, fought back the dragon in his personal fighter while his crew escaped in the main hull. Though Ruckland's dogfight was a masterful display of bravery and skill, the dragon ultimately incinerated him inside his battered ship. But all is not lost for the heroic officer. According to Admiral Doylendrobble of the Hush Hush Tendril branch, plans to rebuild Ruckland are already underway. Such a valiant soldier deserves a second chance at life, and what better way to preserve his honor than reviving him as a pilot Borg, half man, half ship. The enemies of peace will surely tremble at the barrel rolls of Raymond 2.0. On a similar note, Jessica of Tendril was recently promoted to captain. The reward comes on the heels of her daring mission into the heart of the Grimbotheris Nebula. Jessica liberated a batch of dangerous drugs codenamed Basket of Goodies from what she called a big bad werewolf. Jessica was saved from the wolf's deadly jaws by her living cloak of gore, what she calls her little red writhing hood. Reporting tells us that Ensign Milmuertes of the GAC Ground Police stumbled into some trouble with a gang on Rizosh 2, who were causing a ruckus with a very intense LARPing session. The teens had channeled their RPG characters so intensely that they were holding the city hostage with godlike fantasy powers. Milmuertes managed to infiltrate the group and dissuade them from violence. Now he is apparently a level 9 Beastmaster Druid. P.T. Weedstraw is the FBIII code name for a notorious Bogendile bandit who found trouble on one of his recent subterranean heists when a mysterious tablet granted them the power to turn things to stone with a touch. Luckily, P.T. managed to stonify all of his tools and comms equipment, entombing the sneaky thief with his loot. Poop Dudas, an unassuming nano-laborer from the document farming system of Cubiclon 12, went on an office rampage early Wednesday morning, armed only with a stapler and a full-auto whiteout cannon. Dudas later told authorities that the virtual assistant in his word processor told him to do it, which is crazy, because Stapley would never hurt anyone! Another paranormal heist was perpetrated by Mac Rebertz, a human who summoned a clothing-snatching demon to humiliate the guards at the First Bank of Glitz's Major. Mac Rebertz was caught by a Triplemirin, since they prefer nudity, and was scolded for their naked greed. Maybe Possibly is the stage name of a magician from Rutescus, who is notorious for her illusions being only maybe successful. The sorceress certainly rose to the occasion at her show last night, where the climactic trick was a vanishing act for the entire audience. When asked by investigators if she knew where the entire crowd had gone in that puff of smoke, she replied with a wink. Maybe. Possibly. Finally, Jade Kaufman, notoriously acerbic film critic from Old Dolkin, claims that her nasty reviews came to terrifying life late Tuesday night. The ghosts of bad movies past haunted her dreams, moaning for vengeance and drenched her walls in blood. Kaufman rated The Haunting 1 out of 5, calling it uninspired. If you'd like to be featured on Commonwealth Catch of the Day, write us a review on iTunes or support us on Patreon. And remember, this Friday marks the release of the 19th film in Malcolm Durenbaum's Difficult Task Holofilm franchise. Maybe this time, he'll get to the bottom of it.
Gosh. Guys, sorry about what happened back there.
Save it for the debrief, Ensign. We have to catch a shuttle to get there. There's no faster way.
It's not fast enough.
Are we not going to get there in time? Are people going to die?
QN10, who has been strapped to Switch's back, pipes up.
I can get one of you there quickly, if it appeals to your liking.
You'd really be okay with that, even while you're still mourning your master?
If we can get the thing that killed him, I'd do anything.
You go on ahead. We'll catch a shuttle and meet you there.
Switch unstraps QN10. She gets a running start, tossing the hoverboard ahead before hopping onto its deck and leaning forward to accelerate.
That is an appropriately sick stunt, Switch!
There's more where that came from, little guy.
They zoom out of the resort complex and straight through the gap in the force field barrier that guard shuttles are coming in and out of. It only takes a few minutes for Switch and QN10 to reach the Spacnarians, who are still hurtling toward the bottom of their self-prescribed course.
Oh, hey! It's that android chick from earlier! Join in the party!
Rad! I knew you were cooler than those other guys.
Actually, I came out here to ask, what the hell do you think you're doing out here?
We're doing what Thrush would have wanted. Doing gnarly tricks on his grave! It's the best way to honor him.
What about those guys back there? Aren't they seriously cramping your style or whatever?
Sure enough, the green monsters are following close behind. From here, they look like strangely shaped, icky mushrooms with arms and legs. They are gaining ground quickly, ashes rising like wake behind them.
Totally! We've been trying to shake them for a couple miles!
I've got them handled. If you guys could veer off course, I can try to draw their attention and... Watch out!
One of the monsters makes a lunge for Dorsey and catches the tail end of her board. She goes flipping, head over many arms, into the ash. The rest of the blast boarders turn sharply sideways and sputter to a stop.
Dorsey! My best remaining bro!
Thought I was your best bro.
There's no time for this!
Switch zooms toward Dorsey just as a fungus monster bears down on her. She fires off a few precision shots into the monster's face. It loses its form, liquefying back into ooze.
One down.
As Dorsey scrambles back to her comrades, Switch readies her blaster for protection. A shuttle speeds onto the edge of the scene, and Cronist and Kate jump out.
Did we miss anything good?
Just one hell of a wipeout.
Switch, you focus on getting these civilians in the shuttle. The newbie and I will deal with the monsters.
And to think I was starting to have fun.
Switch flies in the direction of the Spacnarians, while Cronist and Cade ready themselves for action.
Want to prove yourself, Ensign?
Want to, yes.
Can you?
We'll see.
Switch ushers the Spacnarians towards the shuttle, occasionally letting off a shot at the approaching creatures. Cronus swings his chain using apparent incredible martial arts mastery to distract the creatures for a moment, before using sheer strength to lop off one fungus head. Switch almost has her wards to the shuttle when suddenly...
Dorsey, no! They're in your ball!
Sure enough, one of the mushroom creatures has reached Dorsey's abandoned hoverboard and begun to nibble at it curiously. To a Spacnarian, however, losing one's board is a fate worse than death. This is why Boosh darts out into the middle of the action, faster than anyone can react, and throws himself at the mushroom creature, leveling punches at it.
Leave her board alone!
The mushroom creature retaliates with teeth. Many sharp teeth made of rocks appropriated from the mountainside that catch Boosh right in the throat.
Boosh! Oh,
with a brutal torrent of blood, another Spacnarian is rendered dead on the desolate moon of Zingar X.
No, that was my mushroom guy! I can't lose someone the first day on the job!
Cade bounds toward the bloody scene. He shoots the mushroom creature with his stun gun. 1 million volts of electricity crackle in the air around the creature, but they do no damage. They only enrage it more, and it whirls on Cade. Just as it starts to look bleak for the young recruit, a shot rings out. A bullet splatters the head of the creature. It squelches into a mess on the ground. Switch hovers over to Cade and offers a hand, helping him to his feet.
There's nothing that can't be solved with a bullet to the head, newbie. Remember that.
Yeah, okay, I'll remember. Light flashing before your eyes twice in one day. Really good for the memory.
Is everyone okay?
Everyone except the dead guy.
We have to find a way to contain this extremo. Things are out of hand.
No kidding, brother.
Roku, the Triblamiran from earlier, stands over the liquefied remains of the mushroom creature Cronus decapitated moments before. She has tears in her eyes.
You promised. You gave me your word that you wouldn't harm a living thing.
Whoa, is she like your ex or something?
This is the hippie from before. Look, Roku, right? I'm just doing my job. I had to protect innocent people from these monsters.
You all have blood on your hands.
It's more like a gack, if I'm being honest.
Oh, sure. That's what you'd think. I've been watching you since you kidnapped that poor thing earlier today. And when I planted that bug on the tentacled one earlier to eavesdrop, I heard what that scientist lady had to say. These extremos, their purpose is to make life. They deserve a chance like the rest of us. Is that a crime? Is it a crime that they have to take over hosts in order to thrive?
Yes, in fact, it is, if they act on it.
I'm sick of hearing that bullshit. When a creature as beautiful as this...
Roku picks up a chunk of mushroom from the goo pile on the ground.
Just wants to live and reproduce? I want to give it that opportunity.
What are you doing?
That's why I, Roku D. Kennan, will become the Extremo's first willing host.
As she speaks, the fungus on her hand begins to spread. The mushrooms bloom, flowering up her arm at a faster rate than anything the Banshee crew has seen yet. She cocks her head to one side, as if listening to a voice no one else can hear.
Is that what you want? For me to... Yes. I understand. This is what I want.
As the Banshee crew watches in horror, Roku raises her hand to her mouth.
No!
Don't!
And takes a bite of the fungus. Switch makes a mad run at Roku to try and tackle her, but it's too late. Rapidly, fungus intertwines with Flora as the Extremo expands within the Triblamiran body, grotesquely stretching Roku to 3 times her original size. She is a mess of bright green ooze and disturbingly twisted flowers. She looms over the crew, grinning ferociously.
time for some bloom and doom.
Banshee Chronicles is written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Tendril is created by Caitlin Radel, Ryan Borses, Taylor Finneran, and Brian Finneran. The theme song is written by Brian Finneran, and all additional music is written by Ryan Borses. This episode features Ryan Borses as the narrator, QN10, Gorgas Coyote, and Boosh. Caitlin Radel as Switch, Roku D. Kennan, and Dorsey. Eric Mayo as Kate Fledry and Thresh Meeblix. Teron Middleton as Cronus Lochnu, Guard, and Sploosh. Diane Mayo as Admiral Doylandrobble and Dr. Mango Simbulon. And Monique Borses as Yorona and Vex Longarmo. We want to give a huge thank to our Patreon supporters, listeners, cast, friends, and family for their continued support and dedication to helping us make this audio drama podcast a reality. Tendril would not be here without you, and we hope we can reward you by releasing episodes far into the future. For more information, visit us at tendrilpodcast.com.